It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming at you again from different places. I'm at my home on the east side. Chase is over on the west side. Marquise Munson back at the studios. Darren McFarlane continues his vacation. He'll be back next week. Chase, what's happening?
You know, just hanging out here on the west side and just another day in 2020.
Well, today is another day on the show, but we are really excited about some of the guests we've got.
Oh, it's going to be a big
up.
Show.
Yeah, we're going to have a conversation with Victor Arvidsson that took place a day or two ago. That will be fun. Our noon hour is absolutely loaded. Reese Davis from ESPN, we told you about that yesterday. And Tom Glavine will join us.
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame left-hander. Oh, man, I can't wait for this at 12:30. And we've been trying to put this together. We've had to reschedule a couple of times. But Chris Broussard, who was, of course, front and center in the backstory of the LeBron James decision show that ESPN showed. Of course, Chris Broussard was with ESPN for a long time. He's now with FS1. We'll be talking to him, talking some hoops at 10:15. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's gonna be cool and insightful to be able to hear what he has to say, you know, about that whole situation. That's something that Marquise and I were just talking about, of playing the what if game, because there's a report, you know, that's come out that what if LeBron almost signed with the Knicks, that they just weren't prepared with the meeting, but what if he had gone to the Knicks and not to Miami? You know, what would it have looked like? How would it have changed the NBA? So it'll be good to talk to him and kind of get his insight.
Yes, looking forward to that. In the meantime, big picture stuff. The mayor announcing that beginning on Friday, that would be tomorrow, Nashville will revert to a modified version of Phase 2. Moving forward, bars must close for a minimum of 14 days. Restaurants, gyms, high-touch businesses may open at 50% capacity. Retail stores at 75%. Gatherings limited to 25 people. So what we feared is happening. We've had to go back at least a half step here.
Yeah, yeah, and they're going to cancel the fireworks show for 4th of July. So that, you know, that's another part of it, too, that's that, you know, we're having to deal with. But look, this should be a wake-up call to everybody. If, you know, whether you think the masks work or they don't, you're being asked to wear masks, so wear a mask. Just wear the damn mask, because I'm tired of – I think we're all tired of this. We're tired of working from home and – not being able to do anything. This virus is here. We got to learn to live with it. And this is where we're at. So, I've talked to a friend this morning that is a bartender, and obviously she's not very happy right now. So, people's livelihoods, you know, are being affected by this. So we got to do our part. I don't know what else to say about it, Willie. It's just, it's a little frustrating, but just kind of where we're at. So let's behave for 2 weeks and then get back into Phase 3.
It goes on to say, I mean, this is going to be something you should probably check in terms of some of the things you've been up to, and you have to take a look and see how you're affected by this. I'm looking further at the tweets from Mayor Cooper. Basketball courts, dog parks, splash pads, skate parks, and recreational sports leagues may remain open in Phase 2. All residents must continue to wear masks when leaving home. Obviously, if you have issues, you know, the older community, health underlying health issues should remain at home. So I'm guessing that the baseball parks and outdoor places that people have been playing, I guess you can continue to play. But I don't know that for sure. I see that there were 608 cases in the last 24 hours. That is by far the highest that I've seen. I've got to believe that's the highest we've had since they've been doing those daily tracking things. So, you know, I was at the grocery store last night. Most people were wearing a mask. For the most part, where I live, people have done a pretty good job. But there were a couple of people that didn't. And, you know, one of the workers at the grocery store went up to these two guys and said, "You guys need to wear masks." And the people were, like, really surprised that they came up to them. And I was like, what, you know, I guess they're just, you know, they weren't paying attention, right? They just, they weren't thinking about it. They were like, really? And they were like, yes, yes, you have to wear a mask. So.
Right. If
some people are still not with the program.
I know, because people want to fight it. Because it's like, no, well, you're telling me what to do? No, you can't tell me.
These people, I don't even know that they wanted to fight it. They just looked clueless. Like, they were really surprised that somebody was actually walking up to them and saying that, no, we're now in this, you have to wear it. You know, this isn't a choice anymore. So the question is, do we need to ramp up? You know, what do you do? Like, what's the protocol if somebody's in violation? If you're a worker at a store, if you are, I don't know, if you're a policeman, like, what do you do if you see somebody in an obvious situation where they're supposed to have a mask on and they don't? I guess you can give them a ticket, right? Or
they need to do something.
Business. Yeah, we're going to have to deal with this. This is the only way we're going to get to the next level.
Right. And I've read about that there are some businesses that knew they had employees that tested positive and they didn't close anyway. I mean, we have to be smarter. We have to be smarter. This virus is not going away anytime soon. And I was watching the news yesterday, and the headline said, "Learning to live with COVID-19. Well, this is how we learn to live with it. You don't have to agree with everything that's being laid out there. I understand. You're entitled to your opinion. I know that there are some people that say the mask doesn't do anything. There are some people that say that it does. But if that is the mandate right now, and if you not wearing a mask is going to keep shutting things down, then maybe you just need to wear a mask, and maybe you need to just not go out as much. I miss it too. Like, I've been out a little bit. It's been nice. There's been a sense of normalcy, but I understand that there's nothing normal about the world in which we live right now. And so it's just, we all have to adjust. We all have to adapt. But all I know is I don't want the country to shut down again, because if that happens, then it's going to be even worse, because that's, you know, that we've powered through so far, but I don't know how much powering through financially we're all going to be able to do.
Yeah, and I think if you look at some of the modifications, they want to keep the businesses open. And so many businesses that I've been in have done such a great job of taking measures, right? Marking off 6 feet, you know, gaps for lines, putting up the plexiglass, wearing the mask with the workers. Most of them have been great with it. I mean, that's what we have to do. But we've got to continue to push this. You know, it's really something. I was watching the governor's press conference yesterday too. I mean, I know the concern is going up. You know, like, I don't think we're to Texas and Florida and Arizona level where, you know, they got to a crisis in a hurry. But that's what we're trying to avoid here, right? To have to really go backwards. But, you know, you mentioned the mask. I know at the beginning, and listen, I was one that was trying to pay attention early, and I did hear for a while, hey, the mask, you know, doesn't do much. But I think we've come around in the last several months to the mask. You know, statistically, there's no denying I mean, it's a fact. The mask reduces the chances of spreading, right? It is a close contact virus, right? Yep. I mean, that is the main way you get it is close contact. So you don't want to be a close talker, right? I mean, remember the Seinfeld episode, the close talker? That was
I know some people like that. And even in normal times, some
people,
I'm like,
there are some people whose habit is like that. It's like, God, those are the people that you really have to watch out for, especially if they're not wearing a mask. But, you know, that's why we wear the mask, you know? So it's just it's real basic stuff. They say the same thing every time. Keep your hands washed, wear the mask, and keep 6 feet apart. And we can roll. You know, we can do a lot of things. It's been proven that that works, but only if we do that.
Right.
If you ignore it, it is going to spread, and it's going to keep spreading. And remember how fast it can spread. That's the other thing. And that's what's unfortunately happening right now. You know, the numbers, we open things up, people are out and about, and then boom, it's like clockwork.
Yep. And this is just, this is where we have to be better, and we have to do our part, and everybody has to do their part. And this is where, and you can tell that I'm a little heated by it, because I'm tired of being one of those people that I'm a rule follower, but then I just hear people complaining about the rules that have been set forth, and they spend all their time complaining and not following them, and then look where we're at. So I'm sure there'll be one person that tweets at me telling me why the masks aren't effective. Okay, fine, believe that. But the rule says you have to wear a mask, and if you wear one and we get these numbers down for 2 weeks, then we get back into phase three. And then if we pay attention and we follow the rules for two more weeks or a month or whatever it needs to be, then we go to phase four. So let's do that. Let's get to phase four. I would love that. All right, ready? Break.
Ready? Break. I'm with you, man. All right. Let's move forward here. We've got a lot of really good guests today. We're really excited about it. As we mentioned, we'll have a conversation with Victor Arvidsson. We did. I saw that Mark Spector from Sportsnet out in Canada. It's looking more and more. There's still no official announcement, but the rumblings are they're working on announcing some big things for the NHL, not just the return to play vote, but also ratifying a CBA extension. There's a lot of things in the works here. Mark Spector will join us at 11 o'clock. But let's take a short break, and we'll come back with Chris Broussard from FS1, and we'll talk a little NBA and what's going on there. Stay tuned. We're just getting started here on Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Just cranking it up here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're excited about our next guest. Chris Broussard is a Fox Sports NBA analyst for FS1, working on the studio shows, First Things First, Undisputed, of course, with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, and The Herd with Colin Cowherd. So he also has got a Fox Sports radio show called The Odd Couple with Rob Parker, which airs weeknights at 6 o'clock Central Time, Nashville time. So Chris Broussard joins us from FS1. Glad to have him with us. Chris, welcome to the show.
It's great to be on with you guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing well. We're hanging in there, and we, you know, we've got our fingers crossed as we see these, you know, numbers every day. We're so, you know, craving competition. So just let's start off with a question. Where are you in terms of your mindset of how well the NBA is coming along with executing, getting everybody in the bubble and getting started down there?
Well, I think they're doing an excellent job, you know, considering the circumstances. I mean, it seems like they have a plan that is about as good as you could have in this situation. They've been understanding also of the players that don't want to play for whatever reason. They're giving the teams many options to add other players. So, and they've taken their time. You know, there was, when they initially announced that they would start games July 30th, there was a segment of people out there that felt like, why are you waiting so long? But I think as time has gone on, that you've seen that was kind of wise, because several players have had it already, you know, and have it currently. It also gives you plenty of time to get your players in shape. It's a slow rollout where players are going to the facilities individually, then they can start going in smaller groups, then they can go as a full team, and then practice, you know, like they're taking the steps that, you know, seem to be wise in this situation. So if for some reason they're not able to play or even to finish a season, then you can't blame the NBA, because I do think that they have done just about everything they can to try to get this thing rolling.
Carissa, we could take this in so many different directions, but I thought of one. I was just looking at some of the things that you've been discussing here recently, and I 100% agree with you. You know, of course, Penny Hardaway is sort of back in the spotlight now, coaching over at Memphis, and, you know, here we are in Nashville. You know, he was obviously a high school legend in Memphis. I was fortunate enough to play against him
right
when I was at Vanderbilt, and he was at Memphis State. But I agree.
How'd you do?
They beat us twice.
I didn't do very well.
Let's just say when I was in the game, Chris, we zoned. We went zone. There was no way that I was going to match up against him if there was any way around it. But man, what an amazing player! But I some of these old games that come on, the classics. You know, I'm always flipping through the channels and see if there's a game that grabs you. And there were some great games from his early Magic days where, you know, he's been kind of a forgotten man for a while, because he kind of disappeared when the injuries hit. But he was at one time, on his way to some tremendous things.
Oh, I mean, Penny Hardaway, assuming he would have, had he stayed healthy, I think it's safe for most of us to assume he would have been a Hall of Famer. You know, I mean, he was on that trajectory. He had been to the finals very early in his career. You know, obviously losing Shaq. And I talked to Shaq. I asked Shaq. Now, remember, Shaq played with Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, Steve Nash, LeBron James. And I asked Shaq, of all the guys you played with, who would, you know, if you could go back, like, which guy would you play and stick with, that you stayed with? And he said Penny. And they were a tremendous team together, because obviously Penny was a great passer. And they could have been like a turbo version of a Magic and Kareem. Even maybe, it's crazy to say better, but the fact that they were both roughly the same age and they would have been in their primes together, whereas Kareem obviously was much older than Magic. So, and Penny was outstanding. And I think, because you mentioned he kind of was a forgotten man after he got hurt, I think that a big part of it, too, is that after he came back from the knee injuries, he played many years. You know, he played seven, eight seasons after the knee injury, and he wasn't the same. And a lot of times people remember him as that player who was pretty good, but not a star anymore. And that can eat you, that can hurt you more than if you're outstanding, then you get hurt and you can't play anymore. Then people will remember, oh, but he was awesome back in the day before he got hurt. But now they kind of remember all these other years where he was just a pretty good player. I think Vince Carter, I was debating, you mentioned my show, The Odd Couple. Rob Parker and I were debating about this. Is Vince Carter a Hall of Famer? And I said yes, and Rob was saying no, and most of our callers said no. And I think a big part of it is Vince Carter played 22 seasons, and he was a superstar for like 11 seasons. And then after that, he kind of started going down and down and down. And there's a whole group of people now that remember him just as this role player or this guy that came off the bench and shot three. So that can often hurt you when people, I think Derrick Rose will fall victim to the same thing. Grant Hill fell victim to the same thing. And so I think that's part of why people don't really understand how great Penny was.
We're talking to Chris Broussard of FS1. And I want to ask you about a documentary that you were a part of, Backstory, about the LeBron James decision. And, you know, it was a great documentary. But I still always think in the back of my mind that what if, and we played that an hour ago, of what if LeBron would have signed with the Knicks instead of signing to the Miami Heat, and how that would have turned out. Obviously, it didn't, because, you know, James Dolan doesn't know how to handle meetings correctly. But LeBron made his decision and went to Miami. But what would that decision been like if he did go to the Knicks?
Oh, wow. Well, look, they obviously would have been a contender because everywhere LeBron goes, they are a contender. The question of whether or not they would have won championships really depends on who else they would have been able to get there. And we've seen LeBron recruit, and sometimes he's been successful. Sometimes he hasn't been able to get guys with him. So it would have been a renaissance in New York basketball. They would have been one of the top couple of teams, a few teams in the league. They would have made finals, I believe. But would they have won championships? That's the question. And again, that's probably based on what would have been around him. And here's another thing is this. If he had gone to New York, I don't think Kevin Durant would have went to Golden State. And so that would have opened up other opportunities for LeBron to win because I really don't think Durant would have considered. I don't even think, honestly, it would have even crossed his mind to go to Golden State if LeBron had not first gone to Miami. Because in principle, the moves were very similar. Durant's was different, you know, more that team was set. There was no question, you know, he was joining the championship team already that had won 73 games. But still, LeBron was going to a team that was stacked, that was going to be the most talented team in the league. And so with him doing that, I think that's when the seed was planted in other players that, man, I can do that? You know, really? I could actually do that? And so I don't think Draymond Green would have thought about calling Durant and saying, hey, man, you need to come play with us. Because it just I just don't think it was entering players' minds to team up like that with super teams. And so really, whether or not the Knicks would have won a championship, the whole last, you know, what, 10 years of basketball would have been different, very different, had LeBron gone to the Knicks, stayed in Cleveland, or gone to another team where it would not have been this super team. It would have just been him trying to win a championship with whatever pieces they have.
Yeah, and I want to go back to LeBron's influence after this, but this is kind of what I threw out there with the Knicks, because obviously, you know, the LeBron-James thing didn't happen, so they kind of went for that sign-and-trade deal with Amari Stoudemire, and then later on in that season, they traded for Carmelo Anthony and Chauncey Billups. So I'm thinking, could you make a big three with you sign LeBron James for the same amount of money he went to the Heat? Amari Stoudemire, I think his deal was $99 million, which is a little less than what Chris Bosh was making. And then Melo at the time was still making around that $18, $19 million range. So I'm thinking if you can put those three together alongside Chauncey Billups, would that have been enough for them to get over the hump in that first NBA Finals? You know what I mean?
I mean, that's asking a lot, first of all, because, you know, who knows how – I don't remember exactly how the money would have worked out, because remember how many pieces they had to give up.
Yeah, absolutely. Wilson Chandler, Gallinari.
Well, I don't recall if they would have even been able to put all three of those players, four of those players with Billups together. But to hypothetically speaking, I mean, yeah, that would have been the championship team. LeBron and Melo would have been great together because Melo, I think LeBron would have just been able to feed him, and Melo would have been that, could have been the closer. He could have been like the Kyrie, really, to LeBron, you know, doing what he does. Amari, who was tremendous early on in his tenure in New York and then kind of faded as injuries kind of took away some of his game. And then Chauncey was a great leader. Now, Chauncey, it would have been interesting how they would have played because Chauncey obviously was a guy with the ball in his hands as a point guard. So that would have been an adjustment. But Chauncey also was a guy that was a great shooter. So I think it would have worked out. And he was a leader as well. So, yeah, if they could have gotten a foursome like that together again, huge if. Then, yeah, I think they would have won championships.
Yeah, you know, at this point, Chris, we're playing hypotheticals all through the radio and all through TV because that's all we got at this point. So,
I was about to say, that's what we have.
That's pretty much all we have. So that's why I threw it out there because I looked at that Heat roster and I looked at it as, okay, so you had Wade, you had LeBron, and you had Bosh, and then their fourth best option was Mike Bibby at that point. And so I'm thinking, okay, Mike Bibby is a better option. Or who's a better option, Billups or Bibby? And I went with, you know, Billups. And then who's a better option between Bosch and Amari Stoudemire? And obviously a healthy Amari Stoudemire in his prime was, you know, a beast. And then I looked at Wade and Melo, right. And I'm like, well, Wade's a better all-around player, but Melo is one of the most underrated scorers in the league. So that's kind of how I came up with that hypothetical.
Well, Melo would have fit better with LeBron, because Wade and LeBron, defensively, they were a great fit, obviously. Offensively, though, it was tough because their games were similar, their styles of play. Wade had the ball in his hands a lot, too. And so when they started winning championships that second year on, Wade had to back up and say, okay, look, I'm going to give up, sacrifice some of my game offensively so we can run through LeBron and he can be his best and then we can be, you know, win championships. So Melo would not have had to do that as much because, again, he could be more of a guy that could catch and shoot, you know, and things like that. So I think those two they probably would have fit together better. They wouldn't have been as good defensively, but offensively, they probably would have fit together better than Wade and LeBron.
Yeah, and before I toss it to Chase, I do want to talk about LeBron's influence on, because we see now, especially even with college athletes, a lot of players now speaking out, having their own voices, and obviously the decision was the start of it. I kind of consider the decision like a sacrifice for LeBron James because it made him realize that some of the people around in my camp maybe is not for my best interest, and that's when Rich Paul steps in, that's when Maverick Carter steps in, and then they built this huge, you know, media entity where they give players an opportunity to have their own voices. So just talk about LeBron's influence in, you know, just giving athletes a voice, giving athletes that platform to kind of speak for themselves rather than, you know, let other people speak for them.
Yeah, I mean, look, what LeBron has done has been tremendous as far as the impact that he's had on the league, on sports as a whole, off the court. And what players are doing, you see more. I mean, Kevin Durant, you look at the great things he's doing with his boardroom show and you know, Silicon Valley and things like that. He's basically following in LeBron's footsteps. Even, you know, I mentioned how he went to Golden State, which I thought was following in LeBron's footsteps. But even with the stuff he's doing off the court, business-wise, very similar. And other players are doing, you know, Steph Curry has, you know, a media company, and Kyrie Irving is putting one together. Like, a lot of these guys are seeing the possibilities and how they can use their celebrity and their wealth that they gain as players to really do a lot of other things they want to do outside of basketball, but also that create jobs for people and give voices to people. You know, now LeBron is, you know, on uninterrupted with athletes, but just he and Maverick Carter just started a media company where they're going to be showing, you know, creating content from, you know, minority communities that really haven't had a voice or as much of a voice as they should have in the past. So I think it's tremendous, his impact. And you said it, like, the social issues as well. I would say it started back in, I believe it was 2012, when he and his Miami Heat teammates wore the hoodies with the Trayvon Martin situation. And that is what really kind of began the current athletes speaking out on social issues, because to that point, they really hadn't, you know, for a long time, athletes had not really spoken out. And so now, as you said, you see it in football, in baseball, in basketball, in college sports. So LeBron definitely does deserve a lot of credit for kind of sparking that. And I think some other athletes have even taken it. Some of these college athletes, I mean, they're putting real sacrifice into this because they don't have the multi-million-dollar contracts. They don't have the endorsement dollars that some of these pro athletes have. Many of them won't even make it to the pros, and yet they're still taking stands when their college scholarship could be taken away. And so a lot of these guys have really taken it to a high level, and LeBron was definitely the recent start of all of this.
Chris Broussard from FS1 is here with us. And along those lines, I believe that we have seen, too, just players in general, whether it's collegiate players or professional players, through all of this, whether it's COVID-19 or Black Lives Matter, anything going on in our country, I feel like that they are all realizing what we all have in the media for a long time of just how big their voice is. And I think this can be a very good thing for society if they continue to use it like we've heard lately.
Man, I've said it for years that, and this isn't, you know, I don't think this is the way it should be, but this is the way it is. Black athletes, I believe, have more power to make change in this society than any other group of African Americans, including politicians. And I really mean that from the bottom of my heart, because their wealth, their connections to corporate America through endorsements, or just people in corporate America wanting to, you know, be in their life and get to know them and things like that, their influence within society, and the fact that they're irreplaceable. LeBron James is irreplaceable. If LeBron James had done what Colin Kaepernick did, he wouldn't be out of the league. You know, it would have become a trend. Like, Colin Kaepernick, I actually thought showed Colin was more courageous than a lot of people even gave him credit for, because when he started kneeling, he was expendable. Like, the 49ers could have cut him that season when he started kneeling, and nobody really would have thought twice about it because he was a backup. He wasn't a star anymore. But had, you know, a star, Russell Wilson, a Patrick Mahomes, a LeBron, somebody like that. If they did that, they are not out of the league for a week, for a day. The league would figure out how to work around it. And that's the power that they have. I'll take it a step further. I've said it for the longest. If the African-American players in the NFL, just them, but if white players joined in too, great. But if they said to the league, we're not playing until Colin Kaepernick's on the roster. He deserves to be on the roster, clearly. We see some of these other guys, Nathan Peterman, and so on and so forth, who are on rosters that are not better than Kaepernick. He should be on the roster. We're not playing until that happens. I don't think they'd miss a game. A team would sign him, period. And that's the type of power that they have. Remember a few years ago in 2015, I believe it was, when the athletes from the University of Missouri, the president and the chancellor, the students have been trying to get them to react to different racial things that had gone on campus, and they weren't doing it. They had been trying for weeks, if not months. The football players say, we're not playing until this is dealt with. Within 3 days, the president and chancellor were gone. And these are college athletes at Missouri, which is not a football powerhouse. That's the power that they have. And I even look at, and I said this on the radio last week, you look at the name Redskins, and I'm not Native American. I don't know all the history. I don't know what is and isn't offensive, but I do know that the leaders of Native Americans say it's offensive. They say it's a racial slur. The dictionary says it's a racial slur. And so I said, I think the black athletes should say they're not playing for the Redskins until that name is changed. I bet you they wouldn't miss a game. I bet you they wouldn't miss a week of practice. That's the power that they have. And I would say, as we're talking about Black Lives Matter and all of that, if we really are moving away from racism and trying to get past racism, it's not just blacks who've suffered. It's also Native Americans in this country. And they don't have the numbers or the power that we have in society. And so if we're really moving ahead, you know, we're getting rid of Aunt Jemima and, you know, Uncle Ben and all these Confederate statues, let's get rid of the Redskins names and any of the other ones that are offensive to Native Americans as well, even though they're not black, but we're pulling down racism, and they're victims of that as well.
Boy, Chris, you have given us a lot to discuss. A tremendous conversation. Thank you so much for your time today, and best of luck with all of your projects at FS1, and we'll keep our fingers crossed in the short term as well that we can start seeing some round ball here very soon.
Right. All right, guys. I enjoyed it. Anytime you need me, let me know.
Awesome. Chris Broussard from FS1, Fox Sports NBA analyst. For
SF1, FS1, you know.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I guess, you know, what is SF1? Is there Super Friend? Is that like the first Super Friend? Would that be Batman,
yes,
or Superman, one of the Super Friends?
That's what we're
They did have a logo with SF on there when I was growing up on the Saturday morning cartoons, SF. But first things first, undisputed with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. You hear him on The Herd. I mean, he is a compelling figure, Chris Broussard. Great to get a chance to pick his brain there. We got a lot to sort out. A lot of different ways we can go. I've got a couple of things that I want to hit on when we come back in the wake of that. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, chalk up another special interview that we just had. Chris Broussard, FS1, talking some NBA issues and some bigger picture issues as well, as we've tried to balance out the show with over these last few months, trying to keep you informed on how we're dealing with the virus. As it was reported earlier today with Mayor Cooper, we're going to have to take a half step back to a modified version of Phase 2 starting tomorrow. Continuing with the theme of, you know, what's happening around the country. You know, we talked to Kermit Davis yesterday about what has happened in the state of Mississippi with the state flag. Chris Broussard brought up one, guys, that was interesting. I do wonder if it will surface again, because every few years it seems to, and that is the name Redskins. It does seem like...
Oh, it's already surfaced.
I mean, it seems like it's an obvious... It is an obvious one. You know, I think there is more of a deeper level of discussion of nicknames like Braves or Blackhawks or, you know, Chiefs, you know, that kind of thing. I think there's a clear line, though, that the Redskins crosses and has for a long time. And that, I think he brings up a really good point. If that scenario were to unfold, as he said, if the players just said, we're not playing until you change it, wouldn't it be pretty? I mean, he said they wouldn't miss a game. I tend to agree.
I agree with that. It shows you the power that they have, and they just have to use it, and they are using it. I'm not saying and how I set that up, it's not that I don't think they aren't, but I believe that they have more power sometimes than they think they do. To have change. Now, I don't want them to abuse that power. I want it to be meaningful. But I believe, I agree with him that if they took some sort of stance, whether it's Kaepernick or the Redskins or what have you, then change would happen. You bring up the Redskins name. I pulled this up. This is from the Washington Post. The headline says, unless Daniel Snyder changes Redskins name, RFK site is off the table, officials say. So don't you think that's a big part of it? You know, they're wanting to build a new stadium, even though FedEx Field, I don't think, is that old.
How ridiculous is that?
Right, but they want to move to where RFK is. I think it's still there. They haven't torn it down yet. But they want to build a new stadium where RFK is. And that was moving forward, but apparently now they're using it as leverage to try and get the name change. So somebody asked me on the text line, this was Joe. He says, Chase, how would you feel if Atlanta was forced to change the Braves name, and what do you think it should be changed to? And that there's stuff that has come up about the tomahawk chop, and they've had, Chief Nakahoma that they got rid of a long
yes.
time ago?
Yeah, and I think the logo is tied in, right? Yep. They definitely have modified the logo over the years. For example, the Indians in Cleveland, they don't use Chief Wahoo anymore.
Nope. He's gone.
He's gone. It took a long time to phase him out, but he's gone. So, there's a lot. I just read an article the other day about the Blackhawks, right? Chief Blackhawk is, you know, they look at it as, you know, an honorable, you know, way that they are trying to, you know, present him as like a hero, a warrior, all of those things. You know, it's not meant to be, it doesn't sound like Redskins when you say Blackhawks, you know, but there are those up there that feel like, you know, representing the Native Americans, they don't like that, right? It's more divided. It's more of a, It's more of a complex discussion when you get into that category of nickname, right? Braves, Chiefs, Blackhawks,
right,
etc.
Let's
at least start with the Redskins. I mean, that one is just
right.
Obvious.
The Redskins one, I believe it's time. It's got to change. I understand that there are going to be people that are going to fight that until the very, very end. And Dan Snyder may be one of them, and because he has in the past. But, like, for instance, with the Braves or the Chiefs or the Blackhawks, you can keep, and maybe even the Indians, you can keep those names, but do like the Indians have done, and you just basically the only thing is the name. You have the block C that is their main logo, the Indian script. So you have moved away from some things that might be considered insensitive. Redskins, that name, yeah, that's just that it doesn't work now. You know, if the Braves ended up changing their name, I mean, I would get used to it. I don't know how I'd feel about it, if I'm being completely honest. But it'd be an adjustment. But if, you know, I'd look at it as, if that's what needs to happen and that's better for society, then that's what we're going to do. So I'd probably go about it that way. But I could see them keeping the name Braves and maybe, you know, get rid of the tomahawk altogether or something like that. But the Chiefs, you know, the Arrowhead, is that kind of in the same category? But I believe Redskins and even maybe the Blackhawks logo, not necessarily the name, I could see some changes happening with those before anything else.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Another one I wanted to bring up for discussion, something we discussed with Chris Broussard, I brought up Penny Hardaway, and he brought up a category of athletes that is an intriguing one, right? Guys who had a very, very high... We discuss it a lot in many forms, right? This comes up, but Penny Hardaway was at the top of his game early in his career. He did a lot at a young age immediately when he went into the league with the Magic. Remember, they got to the NBA final. As he mentioned, it is a lot of what could have been if Penny and Shaq had stayed together at their peak for a longer period of time together. Could that have been more of a Jordan Pippen kind of thing? You know, when they added Horace Grant, they had other really good players like Nick Anderson and Dennis Scott. I mean, they built that team very well. Of course, they were really lucky to win the lottery the year that, you know, Shaq comes in. And then, of course, they had the first pick again the next year where they traded Chris Webber to get Penny Hardaway and more first-round picks. It was a really good way that they were able to build that team. But, of course, the injuries derailed Penny's career, regardless of whether he was going to play for Orlando yeah. or another team. But there are a lot of players like that, right, that never get back to that same level because of an injury, but they keep playing, right? Not like, let's take Bo Jackson for an example in football, right? He's a legendary guy, especially when we think of him in football, because we have all these highlights and then boom, he was done in football. Now remember, he did come back in baseball for a brief time and was able to play, but he was never the same, of course. So that kind of gives you that legendary status. Like if Penny Hardaway had one injury that ended his career, we might look at him differently than we do where he's still around, but he just was never the same, right? What other guys come to mind for you? One clearly does for me. I'll tell you mine in a moment.
So the question you're asking is a guy that we would have looked at their career differently had they not gotten hurt, essentially?
Yes, but the nuance is, they played for a long time as more of an average guy. Like, they stuck around. They still played. But unlike Bo Jackson, who ended his career with one injury, they returned from an injury or some sort of hardship, but they just were never the same. But they kept playing for a long time as a role player. They just were a different type of player. That was Penny Hardaway, right?
I'll give one that's not a superstar, but it's one here. It's a Titans example, but I always felt that way about Tyrone Calico, that he could have been more than what he was but the horse collar tackle. And I know that's not necessarily a great example, but I think that he's somebody that he could have had a longer and better career had he not gotten hurt. And it forced a rule change or was part of forcing a rule change. But that was one example just from a local standpoint that comes to mind. Who's your what's your example?
Question. And he did, I guess, still play for a while. And certainly that's not an extreme case like Harvick, because Kylico never really – you were thinking he might have been just getting it. You know, he was maybe just starting to burst through to be good. That's when that horse collar thing happened. So that was really unfortunate timing. So he never even got to the peak to start with. But let's take Penny Hardaway. The first 3 years, he basically is healthy, and they get to the NBA Finals. His fourth year at age 25 is when the injuries started coming in. He still averaged 20 points a game, but he never got back to that level. And he played played about 6 years, the last 6 or 7 years of his career, even closer to 8 years, where he was more or less a role player, didn't even average double-digit points per game. He played up until age 36. He played 16 wow. games for the Heat in 07-08. But he just was, you know, for over half of his career, he just was not the same as he was for the first 3 or 4 years of his career. So that's a really interesting category of athletes. So, Marquise, did anything come to mind for you?
Yeah, he mentioned Derrick Rose, and I look at Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose, MVP. I mean, obviously, he won it.
You're right. That was a good one. I thought of that.
Yeah,
one.
Because and his
Memphis guys.
His story is yet to be finished yet, because after, you know, his injuries with the Bulls, I think he got hurt again the following season, and then he started to, like, when he stayed with the Bulls, he was still averaging like 15 points a game, but obviously he wasn't MVP level, you know, Derrick Rose. Then he went to the Knicks. Then he went to Cleveland. Then he went to Minnesota. And then that last year in Minnesota that he had, when he averaged 18 points, then he started to get his career back going where it was. And then now this year with the Detroit Pistons, I mean, he's averaging 18 points a game. So his story is kind of yet to be finished.
Yeah.
He's trying to get back to that MVP level that he was at before. You know, obviously people still won't look at him the same as far as an MVP caliber player is concerned, but I mean, for a guy that tore his ACL, everybody said he was done, and a guy who did his stints everywhere else, for him to come back the last two seasons and average over 18 points a game, that's pretty impressive. So Derrick Rose, his story's yet to be finished yet,
yeah,
but like, I think he's one of those guys, and I hope he doesn't fall in that category.
Derrick Rose,
yeah,
I
think that's a really good one.
Yeah.
He's been off the grid for a while in terms of just the spotlight that he
yeah.
used to have.
And then,
and that's similar to Hardaway, but he could get back there if he was on the right team.
Not yet. And then to compare kind of a parallel to Penny is kind of Tracy McGrady, which Tracy McGrady had injuries. He was a superstar
yes.
at his point. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's still a Hall of Famer. He's in the Hall of Fame currently. So then that's why I still kind of leave hope for guys like Penny. I think guys like
Tracy McGrady is in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer.
Man, I had the same feeling about him. A lot at an early age, and then not the sustained greatness. So I wouldn't even – he wouldn't pop into my head. Of course, I watch a lot less NBA than I used to when I was growing up. But, man, that's a great name.
Which is a crazy crazy.
Sort of not top of mind anymore.
Yeah, because when Chris mentioned the fact that, you know, we don't really see Vince Carter as a Hall of Famer, but Tracy McGrady is in the Hall of Fame, and that's kind of where, like, I have, like, the Hall of Fame NBA standard of, like, if Tracy McGrady can make the Hall of Fame, a lot, like, Vince Carter can make the Hall of Fame. I mean, Tracy McGrady was like a 7-time All-Star. He was on NBA first team. I think Vince Carter's like an 8-time All-Star. He was on second and third team throughout his career. He has more, you know, seasons where he averaged over 10 points a game than Tracy McGrady has. I mean, I think Vince Carter's still a Hall of Famer, but I have that Vince Carter standard of if Tracy McGrady can get into the Hall of Fame, like guys like Penny, guys like Grant Hill, guys like Vince Carter, who elevated the game and could have been great, they could be in the Hall of Fame too.
I have, real quick, I have two that I want to throw out. What about Dante Culpepper as a quarterback?
No, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think that's a good one, because okay. he had like his first 5 years, he looked pretty good, and then the knee injury, he still played, but he just was never the same. And Willie won from baseball, Kerry Wood.
Kerry Wood, yeah. In fact, we had a discussion about him, I guess, on the anniversary that he threw had the 20 strikeout game.
Well,
yeah,
he was in Long Gone Summer.
He definitely was still, yeah, and he still played, right, for a long time. But he wasn't ever at that peak moment that he had at the start. And another pitcher is the one I've been thinking of is Dwight Gooden, right? And it wasn't any one injury for Dwight Gooden, although he did have some arm issues, and he had obviously some off-the-field issues. But you talk about a guy that for the first 3 to 5 years of his career was unbelievable, you know, was Penny Hardaway and maybe then some, right? And then, you know, pitched for another 10 or 12 years as more or less an ordinary pitcher, right? You watched him pitch and you were like, this guy was once the best in the game, the most exciting pitcher to watch in the game for 4 or 5 years, and now he's just a guy.
Yeah, you know? Can I ask you guys this?
It's crazy. There are guys like that, but sure. Good enough to stay in the league, right? Good enough to still pitch for a long time.
Yeah, and I want to ask you guys this. Does Strasburg fall in that category with Derrick Rose? Of a guy who suffered an injury, came back, and is kind of we're still kind of writing the book on him.
Maybe to an extent.
Well, he had a pretty good.
Yeah,
I think he's done well. I mean, I know he's never done. He got overhyped before he ever really did anything. That's something he's had to fight. But his performance in the postseason last year has got his career pointed in the right direction. So.
See, that's why I compare him to Derrick Rose a little
bit. Like you said, the story is yet to be told. Well, but he's come back. He's led a team to a World Series championship. I mean, he was the man last year in the postseason for them. So if Derrick Rose were to do – Derrick Rose hasn't done that yet, right, would be my point.
Yeah, he has. I mean, when healthy, he did. So it's kind of like role reverse because when Derrick Rose was healthy, he could –
But that was a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, he could have took a team to an NBA
Strasburg final. Strasburg had the Tommy John, right? But for the most part, when he's been healthy, he's been pretty good. Just not as good as everybody thought he would be.
Right.
But that was a top level performance that he gave in the postseason last year.
Ben says
we could go on all day. I don't know if there's football is an interesting one, right? Because once you get hurt, usually if you're not the same, you don't last very long. To be able to just kind of stay in the league, like Penny Hardaway or Dwight Gooden, some of these guys we're talking about. Grant Hill was a good one he brought up, right? Grant Hill played for a ton of teams, played for a long, long time, but it was never, for a large percentage of his career, was not the star that he was when he first
came in. Is Billy Sims one of those from football?
Well, he wrecked his knee, and I don't know how long he kept playing after he did that. But that was a great example of a guy.
Sterling Sharp
was moving along. Sterling Sharp had an abrupt ending, if I remember right. Yeah. He had a neck issue that ended his career. Just boom, it was over. So he's more like the Bo Jackson. I would put Billy Sims and Sterling Sharp in that category.
Yeah,
I'd have to think about the football for a while. You know, great start, stayed in the league, but was never at the same level. Good category.
Ben
all right,
said
we must
Yao
move
Ming
on.
And Adam said Greg Olson. So, or Greg Oden, I should say.
Greg Oden, oh man. How long did he stay in the league?
A season.
He was more.
He was in the league for a while because he's big and tall. But he was in the league for a while.
But he never really had the heights. Greg Oden never got to the heights.
He never got to past season one, though. That's the thing. Yao Ming is a little bit more arguable, but Greg Oden didn't make it past his rookie year. So I wouldn't put Greg Oden in that category. He had the potential to be really good, but it just never panned out.
It's a great topic. We might continue with this. We'll come back. We've got some things. Actually, we've got to turn our page to hockey, I believe, right? Mark Spector, ready to join us? So let's take a break, come back with hour number two next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.